Blog Talk Radio.
Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. And I am the light within your soul. In the essence of truth and right, love makes the circle whole. And here we stand in line, waiting for some sacred sign. But to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. And in the presence of my Lord of light and love, everything I see aspiring to be free. And when I call to thee and come on bended knee, surrender to the all-pervading light and love. Reflections of the one surrounding me with love. And I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Within and without, above and below, yeah. East, west, north and south, I sense your presence. Without and within, below and above, yeah, yeah. East, west, north and south, I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Presence of my Lord of light and love, everything I find in tune with the divine. And here we stand in line, waiting for some sacred sign. But to find the balance is the purpose of this time. Restore the balance of the universal mind. And I am the light within your soul. In the essence of truth and right, love makes a circle whole. And when I call to thee and come on bending knee, surrender to the all-pervading light and love. Reflections of the one surrounding me with love. For to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. And I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Angel of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. I sense your presence.
Thank you for joining me here tonight on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. My name is Jessie Ann Nichols-George, and I am your hostess this evening. The music you were listening to there at the beginning of the show is I Sense Your Presence. It's by Shemshaya. Amazing, wonderful little musical group that I met in the Sedona, Arizona area, and they're traveling around the world. Every time I look, they've got new songs coming out, and they're someplace else around the world performing and living their dreams. So it's really amazing to watch that happen. And we're actually going to be talking about some of that stuff. How do we live our dream and how do we get into those spaces tonight? So I'm excited to be bringing that to you this evening. And I want to extend a welcome whether you are returning us, oh my gosh, my tongue is twisting up tonight. Whether you're returning to us or whether you're listening to us for the very first time, it's great to have you here, and I definitely want to welcome all those outside of Blog Talk Radio because we are now streaming live in three additional places, which include TalkStream Live, StreamFinder, Penn, also known as Pair Encounters Network, and also we are on iTunes as a podcast these days and TuneIn.com as a podcast, and we have YouTube options. So, you can always keep that in mind if you have people that want to come back and catch the show. Maybe they couldn't tune in live tonight. I welcome everybody listening tonight. So here at Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, I look at the different ways that compassion exists in our lives, how to remove those blocks, resistances, frustrations, and more. And some weeks I'm discussing different aspects of compassion, how it's in our life, how it affects our life, the different areas of compassion. And then some weeks I'm doing more exercises and practical implementations. And then many times I've got guests on the show just like tonight, and that way you get a chance to learn about how other people's work complements and works with compassion. And I also highlight different musical artists along the way as well. Last year we had Stephen Halpern, Peter Cater on. We're working on some other things of big name artists coming in, so you'll want to stay tuned for that. And then in my own work, I also focus on helping people find and use compassion in their everyday lives. I've created the Genesis Clearing Statement, and that's something you can always catch in our archives if you'd like. I've authored 4 books, the most recent being You, Me, Life, Dreams, and its companion workbook. And then, of course, the first 2 are Activating Compassion and its companion workbook. In addition, I've created the Compassion Tour, which is a multi-state nationwide tour, including workshops, retreats, seminars, book signings, and fundraising events. And you can follow all of my live events that I have going on through my event site, which is jessieannicholsgeorge.eventbrite.com. And just a reminder, if you enjoy the show this evening, make sure you tell your friends, your family, share it out there on social media, because I know when I share things on social media, almost always somebody makes a comment, they leave a message to me, and they go, oh my God, this is just what I needed right now, and this is really helping me out so much. So you never know, whose life you might change just by giving that little share out there. And they can always listen to it in our archives. Again, we've got several options for them to do that. And they can use the same link that you use to come into the show to do that for those that are not able to see those links or didn't use a link to come into Blog Talk. You can go on my website, jessieannicholsgeorge1.com. Just find my page there on the Main Street Universe tab, and you'll be right into all the archive shows there. Now, before we get started, as those that have listened in before know, I'd like to delve into a little book called The 72 Names of God. It's by Yehuda Berg, and I love Yehuda's work just because Yehuda takes these nice big concepts and breaks them down into some of that everyday language for us, kind of puts it in real-life terms, so to say. And let's take a look and see what Yehuda has for us tonight. This is going to be interesting, and I think, as oftentimes happens, we're going to find this actually has a connection to our guest tonight as well. When life, and actually the common name that we have tonight is called DNA of the Soul, And the concept here, the message that he starts off with is, when life appears fragmented and disjointed, we can create order out of chaos, tranquility out of turmoil, and calm out of commotion by bringing everything back to its original perfect state, back to the DNA of our lives. We just didn't know it until now. And the insight he provides on this is, before time began, the infinite light of the Creator was concealed in order to create a point of darkness, a space into which our universe could be born. The purpose was to build an arena where there was no light and no order, where we could, through our own efforts of sharing and choosing good over evil, creating our own spiritual light. To conceal the infinite light, 10 curtains were erected, each reducing the Creator's light a little more, until a place was created that was almost devoid of light. This is our world of chaos, of confusion, and of the second law of thermodynamics, which states, among other things, that everything must eventually undergo decay and degeneration. All things must become increasingly disordered. It's known as entropy. In case you've wondered, that's why it takes about half a gallon of water to cook macaroni and about a full gallon to clean the pot. The 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet are instruments of creation. They are the DNA of our universe and our soul. This name connects us to the full power of these 22 forces of creation, which is a really good thing because it brings renewal, order, and creative power to the areas in which we desperately need them. And I think that's really going to apply to our guests tonight, because both Sherita and Mark that are going to be talking about how to bring things about is really about taking this chaos that's in our life and how to create some order and how to get things in that flow where we can actually see the light and not be behind those 10 curtains, as Yehuda puts it. Meditation that he has to offer with this is, here you receive nothing less than the full impact of the forces of creation. You restore meaning to lives that often feel meaningless and purpose to a world that often appears aimless. Order returns. Structure emerges. Everything is tidied up. And that's a really great concept from Yehuda. Now, the common name again for this name of God is DNA of the soul, and the actual name is pronounced Aleph Kaf Aleph. That's Aleph Kaf Aleph. And if you'd like to, that will be up shortly after the show on my page of the Main Street Universe tab on my website, again at jessieannnicholsgeorge1.com. And you'll be able to go back and reflect on that during the week if you'd like with that. Now, I've got a little bit of something for us to think about before we head to break and then bring on our guests, because we do have a couple of really wonderful guests coming on tonight talking about things that I think interest a lot of people these days. You know, how do I get that money flow going, right? Well, here's a little something to think about while we get ready to go on break. Are the planets more than just matter in our solar system? Is it true that the moon cycles create a flow of energy? Is there a place to blend this science into the everyday world? There are oftentimes conflicts between money and spirituality, the material and the spiritual, science and metaphysics. However, like other things, perhaps they are meant to work together instead of against each other. Perhaps it is just a matter of the intention behind using them. Perhaps there is a harmony and a flow that needs to be accomplished in order to have them assist each other. There's an irony today in that most business people want the world to believe their whole approach is all about business. That is all practical tools learned from a system or perhaps a university. They will often say it is all a numbers game to them. However, is this really true? When we delve a little deeper into things, large companies and most highly successful CEOs oftentimes, believe it or not, have someone that is operating on great instincts, consult psychics like consultants, and read their astrology forecast. No matter what the source that it comes from, one thing is for certain, timing, great timing, is a huge key in things. This is where I see that perhaps there's a direct link between our success and spirituality. We know in spirituality that being in the flow is the key to achieving abundance. We know that this space allows us to open our potential and to reach greater levels of achievement. However, how many know and actually use that on a practical and business level? Let's face it, you don't often hear a CEO saying, "I can't meet with you today because Venus is opposite Mars." Although, you know, wouldn't it be great and more enlightening for all of us if they did? So what if these spiritual tools were just as important, perhaps more so in some ways, as any other business tool or skill in business? Sherita Starr and Mark Darren Greger, gosh, I always want to put an MC and make him Irish. I don't know what it is about that. They seem to think so and teamed up just to show how this can be done. You know, Sherita's drawn on her experience as a personal life advisor with a spiritual background, and Mark with his wide range of expertise in helping Fortune 500 companies as well as individuals to succeed. And together they've created what's called financial freedom. It's a spiritual approach to the earthly world where you can create twice the success in half the time. This is exactly the type of thing I feel is becoming more and more mainstream. Soon, this will be the norm for how things are planned and how people will do business. Most likely, we will see others thrive greatly from realizing, like all things in the universe, we need to learn how to harmonize what appears to be polar opposites. Where do you blend spirituality and practicality? Have you used spiritual practices to assist you in the material world? What advantages would be there? And how would there be advantages to shifting wealth into the hands of those with pure spiritual hearts? Something to think about. We're going to take a little break here in just a moment. This week, our guests, by the way, focus on a component of compassion that is related to the aspect in my books titled Gimme, Gimme, Gimme. And this reminds us that if we are feeling blocked and frustrated with the things not moving forward, that we have disconnected with spirit, left the flow of divine energy. As we take the time to stop, breathe, and reconnect, aka get in the flow, things start working easier and with less effort. I'm going to take a short break, and when we return, I will have Sherita Starr and Mark Darren Greger, and they will be sharing their work with Forecasting Freedom. The song I've got for you during our break is called The Chosen One. It's by Claire Hedin. And if you'd like to find out more about her work, you can certainly do so at www.clairehedin.com, and that's C-L-A-R-E-H-E-D-I-N.com. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Your eyes shine with kindness, your hair curls with joy, your heart lights the bedroom, your grace fills the sky. You are the chosen one, so bright just like the sun. You are so blessed, be you are a joy to me. Your name sings the heavens, and nature hears it too. Imagination whispers, creating life through you. You are the chosen whisper, so bright just like the sun. You fill my heart with gladness, you do for everyone. Oh, ah, mm.
Welcome back. You are listening to Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. My name is Jessie Ann Nichols-George, and I'm your hostess this evening. You were just listening to a song called The Chosen One. It's by Claire Hedin. And again, you can check out more of her work at www.clairehedin.com. That's C-L-A-R-E-H-E-D-I-N.com. And also, you know, we did a great little show at the end of 2012 with Claire, and you can certainly learn more about her through that archive as well. I'd like to bring on my guests tonight. We have Sherita Starr and Mark Darren Greger. They're a dynamic duo. I am tongue-twisting tonight. A dynamic duo and team that brings a combined level of experience of decades. Sherita is a personal life advisor with an expertise in forecasting. Mark Darren Greger is a distinguished career development coach, business strategist, and keynote speaker. He has led teams in over 20 countries worldwide and spearheaded countless product and business development initiatives for everywhere from Fortune 500 companies to small business owners. So what do we get when we bring the two of these together in one place? A powerhouse venture known as Forecasting Freedom. And we're going to be taking a look tonight at how their project of how to use the stars to further your business and personal success. And they're going to be sharing with you tonight how you will be able to know where to get those maximum payoffs for minimal efforts. And you can learn more about this Forecasting Freedom. And if you're on Blog Talk, you'll actually see the link there, and that's probably the easiest thing for you to use, or in the YouTube archive, you'll be able to see that. But for those of you that are listening in other areas, that is www.MAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssAssA Welcome to Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, Sherita and Mark.
Good evening.
Hello.
Hi.
It's so great to have you here. And some of those that have been following the show for a while know that Sherita was on. She was my very first guest of 2014. So you have to go back and catch that in the archives, too, because that was a great show.
We had fun opening up the Well, we'll be discussing a little retrograde talk this evening, but we opened up 2014 with a huge retrograde train conversation.
That we did. That we definitely did. Well, I would love, I mean, I gave a brief little overview of the two of you, but I would love for each of you to give your own little background in things and how the two of you came together and came up with Forecasting Freedom.
Okay. Well, Mark, I'm going to let you go first.
Okay. So, something a little about myself. So I am, as you had mentioned, I do coaching. I do career coaching as well as a speaker. And what I do is I work with professionals in helping them create breakthroughs in their career or their business. Most of us go through our careers, we create businesses, and we'll have times where we feel like, you know, we don't know what to do. We simply don't know why something isn't working, or we're not really sure what we really want. Like, we're doing something, but we're not really sure why we're in that particular career. Well, that's where my work comes in, is I help you start to get that clarity around what is it that you really want, and then with that clarity, how do you maximize your success? How do you be effective? How do you be efficient in whatever direction you're leading? So I work with professionals. I work with them both here in Southern California as well as nationwide. And as far as how Sharita and I met, we met about, I think it was like 7 or 8 years ago in New York on a beach. Very randomly, a mutual friend of ours had invited us both to go to the beach with him. And within, I would say, maybe the first hour of meeting Sharita, we took a walk down the beach, and she pretty much read me better than my own mother knows me. And all she knew about me was basically my birthday. And it was from that moment that I really started to appreciate how profound astrology and numerology is and how accurate it is. So so with that, I'll turn things over to Sharita. Introduce herself.
Okay. Yeah, that was a fun day on the beach. One of my favorite places to be to unwind and relax. But my brain never shuts off, so I'll still talk all the time. But yeah, where do I begin with how all this started happening for me? You know, I've been reading the horoscope since I was 7, seemingly by default because it was next to the funnies in the newspaper. But I took note of it and always have been, you know, drawn to anything spiritual, really. You know, devils and some tarot cards earlier on. And then when I was experiencing my Saturn return, which we all collectively experience this cycle in our lives around the ages of 28 to 30 years old. And that was when I came across a deck of cards that was published by a woman named Crystal Bush, who was Linda Goodman's business partner. And I had a copy of this book called Star Signs that Linda Goodman had written back in the, she released it, I think it was in the mid-80s. And I saw this deck of cards and I just said, I've got to go home. I was in, happened to be in Denver, Colorado at the time, and went home, and I was just like, this voice in my head, as all I can best explain it, said, go home and read that book. So dug it out of my library, the copy of Star Signs I had, and I finished it cover to cover this time. And that was really the beginning of what happened for me, of how I understood, as Linda so deeply relates in Star Signs, the connection between astrology and numerology. And it's because they are both guided by the same exact planets. So whether we're looking at our birthday from a astrological standpoint or looking at it from the way that the numbers show us in sight, it's all about this planetary guidance that's always moving in forward motion all the time. So what it entails and allows us to do is see how cycles move in our life, when is the best time to time things. And I just began my journey, and here I am. I'm going on 14, 15 years now of, you know, really doing what I do full-time and helping people all around the world have a little peace of mind in their life. Because, you know, we all go through challenges. We all go through ebb and flow in our lives. And the way that our, you know, forecast can be seen from astrology and numerology, it's quite profound. And as someone like Albert Einstein once said, who is, you know, I think we can pretty much say he was one of our greatest scientists, he actually sought to disprove astrology and numerology because he was like, oh, this can't be real, can't be valid. And he came up with this statement after studying them both. Astrology is a science, and it contains an illuminating body of knowledge and is like a life-giving elixir for mankind. And when he talked about numerology, he said, well, at any rate, I'm pretty much convinced that God's not playing dice. So, and I, you know, Linda said in the book, which I took right to heart, she says, you know, don't take my word for any of this that I'm telling you, apply it. And it was at that point, you know, I was about 28, 29 years old, and I realized I remembered anybody's birthday that I had ever known. And I had this, like, data system in my head of just being able to go, wow, this totally describes this person that's going on with that person's life. And it just, like, this channel opened for me. That's the best way that I can describe how I started really doing what I'm doing now all these years later. And, God, I just look forward to being, like, 99 years old and still doing readings for people.
Well, I think it's interesting, and I'm glad, Sherita, that you brought up the fact that this is a science. And when I put out my blog post this week that was based around this, and somebody said, oh, my gosh, I'm so glad you're talking about this because I've been using these tools for years, and that's exactly what I see them. I see them as valuable as any other business tool. Mm-hmm. And being in astrology myself, I know how precise it is, and it is exactly that. It's a science. I mean, if we look to any religious system out there or spiritual system, we look at the Kabbalah, we look at all these different systems. They're based on 22 letters. They're based on, you know, 72 names. They're based on this whole numerology. It's all about numbers, actually. And, and Mark, I've been through a lot of different things where I've seen a lot of different business plans, and I thought, boy, if they would just incorporate astrology, they would really have something. But it's like I've looked at a lot of the business plans, and they're so general out there, and then I look at, say, astrology, and it's like this tells you exactly what to do, when to do it, how to do it, for the most part, while still giving you a little accommodation to your own, you know, personal style of things.
Sure, because no two individuals are the same. My graphics designer came up with a funny expression. He says, we are all our own unique snowflake, and it's true. I mean, no two people's astrology is the same. I mean, your map, you know, the day that you're born, you come, you know, that time you're born, which is always why, you know, in astrology, we would love to know the time in the city that you were born in so that we can get your map. And we use this as a very profound tool for the remainder of your life. Aside from what your purpose is and, you know, how will you, you know, handle health issues, you know, and things you need to be mindful of, how will you, you know, approach love in your life, how will you handle your finances, what do you really value about life? It also provides us with this very precise, as you say, it's a timing tool. And it's because astrology is all math. It's sacred geometry. It's just understanding mathematical alignment, which the numerology teaches us as well. And actually, numerology, I always find for most people, it's easier to grasp off the bat than the astrology is. I will not deny that astrology is rather a complicated subject, but it can be simplified so that you can, you know, utilize it in a powerful way in your life.
I definitely agree, and I think it's kind of funny, you know, when these business people say it's all a numbers game, I'm thinking, yeah, you're
sure
right.
It sure is. You bet.
It totally is. So give us now, maybe Mark, maybe this is a good thing for you since you've got that business background. How does the spiritual and business together, I mean, because you're used to working with these bigger companies, I mean, how do you approach them with something like this?
The million-dollar question. For me, business, I was just having a conversation today with some business professionals, and they're very much like-minded for what it is we're discussing tonight. And we got into a conversation of like, yeah, how do you bring anything that is non-traditional business into the business environment? And certainly astrology, numerology, spirituality, metaphysical kind of conversation is just something that can seem very woo-woo if you don't know how to translate that into the business environment. And at the end of the day, all business is relationship. People like to think that business is products and it's markets and it's economy and it's money, but it's none of those things. Business, at the end of the day, all comes down to relationship. And when we start to recognize the fact that business is relationship, and we start to speak with people and interact with those in the business environment, not at the business level, but at the relationship level, and you get interested in what they're about and what's really going on in their world, and you help them start to understand that what they intuitively know in their gut, and we all intuitively know that there is something beyond what we see in this third-dimensional space that is actively at play, you can start to introduce and open that door that there are things out there for them to be considering as they go about their workday. For example, if you did a poll of those in the professional environment and asked how many of them go to church or go to synagogue or go to a mosque at some point during the week, you'll find a good percentage of the workforce are following some type of religious or spiritual practice. However, how many of them actually incorporate that belief system into business is probably nearly 0%. Well, why is that? Because there's still a disconnect in the conversation of relationship. How can you do business with someone if you don't understand their belief system? And what are you missing out by not recognizing their belief system? Because at the end of the day, human psyche, human behavior is motivated by belief. We take action on what we believe. We don't take action on logic. And that's where a lot of people in the business environment get tripped up and they misunderstand how to create effective business. Because they keep trying to figure out how to create business and to make things happen based on the way they see things, rather than really understanding the belief systems of the consumers or the customers or the other colleagues that they're trying to enroll and inspire in whatever vision they have. So it's not a simple equation, yet it's an equation that in many ways boils down to one thing, and it always comes back to relationship. And how can you introduce this conversation, not in a maybe a global way across your company, but one colleague, one manager, one person in your company at a time? That's the way to really introduce something new and something different and something powerful into that business environment.
You know what I find interesting, Mark, is as I've been in the business world, I've been in management. I've owned and operated my own retail business in the past, things like this, and done training and things like that. And I used to bring some of these different components in because I had that knowledge, and I thought, yeah, I may not be doing, you know, what the company would like in looking at everybody's birth dates, but I'll tell you, I knew exactly how to relate to people as a result of it. And I can't tell you how many times people said, I just wish I could figure this person out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, you can. It's not that hard. And yet they won't pick up the tools to do it. And yet I think if you put it in business terms and you said to somebody and they're sitting there going, you know, I just can't figure out why the phone system isn't working. Well, you can. You know, it's the same thing. It's just a different level of it. And to me, it's as technical and as important, I would say, as any other piece of business at all.
Well, yeah. And, you know, at a fundamental level, when we're talking about astrology and numerology, for me, from a business standpoint, this is the biggest misunderstanding, is astrology and numerology is not religion. It's not even spirituality. It is mathematics and science. It is mathematics and science. Business is based on mathematics and science. So it actually is the exact same conversation, yet in the business environment, there's this disconnect or misunderstanding that astrology and numerology has some type of belief system that's required in order for it to apply, and it doesn't. Whether you believe astrology and numerology or not makes no difference, because at the end of the day, every single moment of your life is being affected. If you choose to put your head in the sand and pretend like it's not happening, you're more than welcome to do that. But at the end of the day, whether you believe it or not makes absolutely no difference. It's affecting you whether you want it to or not. And those who are really genius at creating success and being empowered in life choose to take their head out of the sand and deal with the reality of what is rather than pretending that it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm. That's very, very true. With the many of people I have sat down with over the years, that is one of the, and you know, how Mark and I met, you know, I didn't know him from a hole in the wall when I met him. And, you know, it was just getting that little tidbit of his day and month of birth, and I could backtrack 5 years and explain what had happened in his life up till now. And it was just understanding the cycles that were currently affecting them, and then, you know, what had already happened. So what we, you know, have done and come together in this program that we're offering is allowing people to understand, A, where they are in time, and what, as Mark said, is always happening around you, whether you do like it or not, or whether you believe in it or not. And it is so true. You do not need to have – what's interesting about astrology and numerology is that it is, as much as it is scientific and this mathematical formula is always circulating around us, there is this element of it's psychological in the same sense. You kind of almost can't leave the psychology of it out of the equation. But does that make it spiritual? No, not really. And it's certainly not religious. But, you know, in this country especially, you know, astrology is really not as well valued because it's just been kind of, you know, unfortunately kind of dumbed down to the little blurb in the newspaper that I used to read when I was seven, you know, that did spark my interest way back then. But astrology goes far beyond what that little hit or miss thing may or may not be. It's so profound how far it can go, and it can tell you just about how anything and everything can happen to you. However, your free will is still in charge. That's why we call it forecasting, and I never use the word prediction in my work because I don't tell you how your life is going to turn out. You determine how your life is going to turn out.
And that's a really good point, and that is a key thing, I think, when we look at this, is that freedom of choice is still there. It's kind of like, here, I'm going to give you a bunch of ingredients, and what you make with those ingredients is up to you.
That's right.
And how you put them together, and that might make a cake, or that might make a brick, or that might make something. We know from right in kindergarten, you could use the same ingredients in a cake as you used to make Play-Doh, right? Same sort of thing there. What you make with it is up to you. So, yeah, what is this forecast? You come together, you brought this program, and it's called Forecasting Freedom. So what's this all about? What's involved? What are the components of this?
Well, what we have come together to share is how, you know, that age-old expression, Timing is everything. And what Mark has observed over the years is how he's always seen that, you know, people can be doing things in their career or in their business. And I've seen the same thing from my end of the spectrum, is that people are, they've got their wonderful ideas. They've got these, you know, great brainstorms and so on and so forth. But sometimes they're just choosing the wrong time to initiate them. And this was something that, you know, I've observed for a very long time. And, you know, Mark understands this from, you know, where his clients and business, you know, expertise has come into play over the years as well. And that is really why we developed this kind of aligning our forces together, is because he can take what I do on this more of a mystical level, as some people want to view it, but this mathematical scientific way of logically looking at it all, and he knows how to, you know, really take the business lingo that I don't always understand, and he knows how to tell you how to apply it, whether it would be for your career or for your business. You know, how to take all of these timing tools that we are sharing in the program, and some simple things. You know, we're not going to teach you about astrology, and we're teaching you a little bit about numerology, but we're not getting into the true nuts and bolts of how numerology works by any means, but we're teaching you the most effective timing tools that you need to start to understand in order to really create twice that success with half the effort, because you're going to stop being a salmon swimming upstream, because so many people struggle against time. I mean, I think anybody could, you know, if you asked anybody what would they wish they had more of, probably everybody in this modern day wants more time on their
mm-hmm.
And aside from the money, you know, everybody always wants the money too. But if you effectively use your time, you will effectively be creating more money and success in your life.
Well said. And I think when we look at this timing thing, it's in some ways it can be so obvious, and in some ways it can be so elusive to us, because I know myself, I've had plenty of times in my life where I said, well, I've just got to get this done.
Yeah.
And I keep sitting there, and I'm getting 20,000 interruptions, and it's like, when am I going to get the clue that I'm not supposed to work on this right now?
Right.
And it's that aspect of, you know, I think kind of knowing that, okay, if your boss is in a grumpy mood and he just got in a fight with his wife that morning, and he's sitting in the office stewing and raging and, you know, worrying about these things because the teenage daughter just got in a car accident and they've got to buy a new car, do you think that's a good time to go get a raise? Probably not.
No.
This, I would say, kind of what we're talking about when we talk about timing. You know, you don't approach somebody for a favor when they're having a bad day.
Yeah. That would go back into the first part of the conversation both you and Mark were having about the relationships. And
that's
understand and then be understood. So if you can always seek to understand what somebody else may or may not be experiencing, because, I mean, you know, let's face it, everybody's going through a struggle whether they're telling you about it or not. And if you seek to understand those people, especially whoever you're working with in your business, whether it be your boss or your coworkers, that makes it all the better too.
Well, and I would think, you know, besides just knowing other people, a big part of this would be about understanding yourself better.
Well, yes, because if you don't really understand yourself, nobody else is going to either, I don't think.
What do
well,
you want? I don't know.
You make them up a little confused, I suppose.
Well, and I think that does tie in to what you're doing, because I think a lot of this program, from what I understand, does help you to understand what, you know, what are your personal cycles, or what is your flow?
Yeah. because everybody has their own. And, I mean, no two people's formulas, especially when you cross-reference, because that's really my specialty, is I don't leave astrology or numerology out of your equation. I tell you about how they kind of work collectively in your life at any given moment. And it's the same thing with you know, when we're understanding our current forecast. There's an astrological way things are happening, and there's an equal numerological way that it's also happening. So you're getting a, you know, when you combine these two practices, you really get Crystal says it too, but as Linda Goodman used to say, she said, it's like having a crystal ball to look into your life. So it is a way of, you know, like I said, we don't like that. I don't like that word prediction, because that means somebody's planted some sort of seed in your head and gives you like just one way possibly something could have an outcome. And when you have a forecast, you're working with energy around you, because energy exists around us all the time. You know, and that is so much like, you know, you're talking about, are these, you know, planets just masses, you know, orbiting around up in the universe? No, they're not. They have a very profound, seemingly unseen way, because we can't see, you know, we can't even see half the planets. I mean, some of them we can see when if we have a good telescope, but, you know, it's not like anybody really can see the visual of it. So this is why a lot of people don't choose to believe it, because most people don't believe what they can't see right in front of their face, especially in business. Everybody wants the material. They want the money. They want the results. And, you know, they want boom, boom, boom. Everything's fast, fast, fast. And they think the faster something happens, the better it is. And when you really look to how astrology and numerology will tell you about timing, everything has, there is a particular order that it's all going to come in. And if you try to force yourself against that natural flow, that's when you always find resistance. And then you don't get the results that you want out of your life, because you're just not aligning in how the cycles are, you know, are meant to be going for you. Lee Iacocca was one of, like, you know, he brought Chrysler back from a total, you know, the depths of the valley. And, you know, he said this: as far back as I can remember, I've always been a strong believer in the importance of cycles. And you better try to understand them, because all of your timing and often your luck is tied up in them. And if somebody like that man could validate what these two things can teach us, then why can't we? Why can't anybody?
Yes, and I'm a firm believer in cycles. I have a whole series of events out myself that are based on the cycles of the year and being in flow with that. And I very strongly believe that this is an important thing, because one thing I know I've learned about cycles is when we work with the natural cycles, and everything flows in natural cycles.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at nature, you know, when you go through the seasons, you're like right now, we have blossoms coming out on the trees and the leaves are starting to come back on, and they're going to blossom up and they'll be full for a while, and then come fall, they'll start to dry up and they'll, you know, fall away, and it's got its cycle that it goes through year after year. And I know that with some of the work you're doing, there's a similar thing there. We each have these personal cycles that we go through, and every so many years we kind of get reborn again, and we kind of go through our own little death in a way, every periodic thing. And I think that this is a critical thing to connecting with divine presence, if you want to say that. And we know when we're connected, everything can flow. That's
mm-hmm.
the thing.
Yeah,
everything
absolutely.
And you were talking about that, you know, about the timing part of things. And right now we seem to have a lot of influences out there, Sherita, that are very aggressive influences, shall we say?
Tension.
A few little Mars things too. Let's say patience is not, you know, the strong suit for a lot of
not
people, right?
A best virtue these days. We've got there's a lot of tension in the universe right now, coming from those planets. That's one cycle that's that's happening, no matter where you live in the world, but especially for this country, this country is going to be what I would call being a little heavy hit by a cycle that's coming up. Well, it's an alignment that's coming up, but it's creating a new cycle upon this earth for sure, which is called the Grand Cardinal Cross. And there's four major planets up in the grand universe orbiting around, and they're all going to align at the same degree point, creating a perfect square up there. Now, when you have a square, you have, in the mathematical alignment of that, you've got four 90-degree angles, which, of course, creates four corners, which for some people, especially those I would believe that are less aware of this or really have no idea what astrology means in their life, they will tend to probably experience the tension of those corners or the blockages that those corners can create. But when you really know how to work with a square in astrology, you're going to understand there's a new foundation forming in your life upon which something can be then built back up upon. Because let's face it, if you have a house, if you don't have a solid foundation, it's probably not going to stand too well. It's just going to be like, you know, that expression, you can't build a foundation upon the sand. And when we look at our numbers and the way that the cycles go, we flow in time in 9 years. So there's always a number. Every year we have another birthday that's going to tell us what are we meant to experience within that cycle until we have the next birthday. And it takes, via numbers alone, 4 years to establish a new foundation in our life, depending on when we would, you know, be in a what we call a one personal year, when you're back at one again every 9 years in your life. So when people want the instant now world that we're all a part of, what they sometimes fail to understand is that it takes time to really create something that's solid. And even to get the harvest of that, it's still going to take a little bit longer than those, you know, first 4 years of building the foundation. There's a process to it all. And again, a specific order in which things will naturally come towards you. And just because you don't see ultimate results and success immediately from when you choose to start something, it takes time to get it where it really needs to be. And, you know, that little analogy of the tortoise and the hare, well, you know, the hare isn't, just being quicker doesn't mean it's better. So that is the one thing, when you really understand how powerful these cycles are in our lives, understanding that patience again, and that's what really can serve us.
That patience, I think, is so huge for us right now. You know, I kind of have this example in my head of, okay, you know, you can go out there and you can repair the fence with no tools today.
Yeah.
Okay. Or if you could just wait one day, I'll get you a whole set of tools to work with.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to compare that. And Mark, how easy is that for that business world, you know, how to wait that day or to wait these things? Because I know that's not always easy to get them to hold off a day on something.
Now forget about them. It's not easy for me. I mean, you're totally preaching to the choir that needs to hear that here. Yeah, patience is a virtue for a reason, and certainly for myself and for most of us in the business world, that's probably the biggest virtue we have the biggest challenge with. Mm. Now, when it comes to patience, you know, people, I think, often have a misunderstanding of what patience actually means. They think that patience means to just kind of like, you know, just sit down, you know, kind of like a kid throwing a temper tantrum.
Yeah.
And just kind of like, okay, fine, I'm just going to sit here and wait. Well, that's not really patience. That's still resistance. Yeah. And that's actually just being ineffective. Patience is really, really more about trust than anything. And when it comes to trust, trust now opens up a whole another can of worms, because that's a whole another virtue that most of us are not very masterful with. So in the business environment, here's the thing. We're not saying that you can't start a business at any given time and you can't have certain type of success or certain amount of success with business at any given time. However, what's more important here is really starting to understand that you're going to be working uphill if you're not really aligning your timing with the natural flows that are working in your favor. So, for example, if you're in a relationship and you are really excited about the relationship and you're like, oh, my God, this is the one, and then all you do is push, 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 push in that relationship. Oh, let's get the next step. Let's move in. Let's get engaged. Let's get married. Well, what do you think is going to happen with that relationship? More often than not, the other person is probably going to go run screaming at some point, or they're going to end up cheating at some point, or there's going to be some other issue that comes up in the relationship because everything was moved too quickly. Mm-hmm. There wasn't an alignment between yourself and the person that you were in the relationship with. Well, it's the same thing when we talk about business. Business and the universe need to be aligned together. If they're not aligned together and you're just pushing the business along in this relationship, and the universe is like, okay, you can push this along, but this ain't going to work in the long run, you're going to see some of what you want, but in the long run, you're not going to get what you really want. And that's, you know, to what Sherita had mentioned before with J.P. Morgan and Leah Iacocca. These are guys who had tremendous business success because they learned the art of patience. Now, here's the thing. Do you really believe that either one of those guys were actually really patient in terms of just sitting still? No. They didn't sit still. What they learned to do was maximize the activities they were doing at the right times. So when it wasn't time to launch a business, they were busy doing something else in waiting for the right time for to the right date or the right time frame in which to launch that business. So that's really kind of what this conversation is about. It's not about sitting still and not doing anything and just waiting around. It's about really identifying what is the most that's going to give me the biggest return on my investment, and which are the activities that are better for me to put on a back burner or a side burner for now. I'm still going to do them, but I'm just going to hold off so the timing is aligned and going to make that a more effective activity for myself.
Mm-hmm. And you know, we do see these cycles. I know that when I had my own retail shop, you know, you talk about these things and these timings. There's different things for different points in the business, the times of year, things like this. And, you know, I was in a very seasonal town with my business, so we had like 3 months out of the year to make it. If you're going to make it, you better be able to make it in 3 months. And so you didn't exactly go and buy a whole bunch of brand new inventory in the off season. You know, you wanted to bring that in when you were headed into your in season where you could move it. And I think those are the same types of principles. In the off season, you did other things for your business. You know, you focused on other aspects that might be more locally focused as opposed to tourist focused.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And so tell us a little bit about that. You know, how does somebody's personal cycles play into how they plan their business?
Do you want to take this one, Shooter, or you want me to step into it?
Well, the one thing I wanted to add to the idea of the patience that we're talking about is that when you're waiting, quote unquote, waiting for something or aligning your energy so that you're still doing something efficiently and effectively even while you are waiting for those opportune moments. There's a key component I also believe within the word of patience, and that's having the peace involved, having the peace of mind to know that it's okay, that you're not always having to be in action all the time. And I am going to toss this right back to Mark because he has a load of awesome insight to share about it. But one of the things that we determined, or well, Mark determined when we were developing this course, is when he added up how we understand.
And we kind of lost Sharita there.
Can you hear me?
Oh, now we can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, but you know, the internet is funny these days. That's that Mars retrograde thing happening. It's been happening almost every radio show I've been doing. But Mark figured out, which I hadn't even ever come up with yet on my own, because he's like, he does this numbers thing, you know, he does it in the way that he does it with the career and the business. But when you're really understanding how these cycles work and when we're really meant to have our foot on the gas, when you look at the whole calendar year in its entirety, there's only about a third of the year we're supposed to have our foot, like, you know, on that gas and going at the green light. The other two-thirds of a year is really meant to, you know, and it's all sporadically spaced out where it's not like, you know, you get one-third of the year and that's all you get, but in one time frame. But that this other two-thirds of the year is when you're really meant to be in that more of a reflective space of reassessment, the kind of like the back end of everything that you're working towards with whatever you're doing with your career or your business, where you're kind of, you know, have the car in neutral and you're at the caution light, or you're just like at the red light and you're not going anywhere and you're not meant to. So Mark, that was all I wanted to say about having a little peace of mind that it's okay to be able to do that. And that's part of the patience process too. It's just having a peace of mind about it.
Yeah, you know, and that kind of touches on what is, I also see as very very prevalent within the business environment, is the concept of permission. We can, even if we hold a conscious understanding or a belief that it's good to slow down, it's good to center, maybe we meditate or we pray, or you know, we believe in downtime. Even if we conceptually, logically understand it or believe it, we sometimes are still blocked by giving ourselves permission to actually do that. And then therein lies creates another disconnect. In our energy, it creates another gap in our effectiveness. So another part of this conversation here is really looking at where do you give yourself permission? Not just, oh, I know I should let myself do this. Actually give yourself permission to take your foot off the pedal, to sit back, to quiet your mind, and actually listen. Listen to the intuitive intelligence. Whether for you that's God, whether it's Jesus, whether it's an archangel, whether it's your higher self, whatever it is inside of you that is your higher intelligence, your connection to that eternal wisdom that we all know we always have. That thing of like, yep, I knew that was going to happen and I still walked right into it. Well, you knew it was going to happen because there's something inside of you that always knows truth. It always knows what's really going on. We so rarely slow ourselves down enough and quiet ourselves enough to actually listen to it. And in the business environment, the old paradigm is go, 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 fast, 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 more, more, more. It's completely not only not aligned, but it's going in the opposite direction of what that inner voice wants us to do, which is to stop the roll, to quiet the mind, and to actually listen to the whisper of the profound wisdom that's going to tell us exactly what to do and when to do it to create our success. Yet, when we're moving so fast and we're running from one boardroom to the next and we're doing the next marketing campaign and doing the next investment and all that, we miss it. And then what we end up doing is we end up doing 100 things. Let's say you do 100 things across the week, and if you actually really stop to assess the effectiveness of the 100 things you do, you're probably going to get a failing grade. Because I almost guarantee you that 90% of the activities you took did not result in what you intended. Well, why is that? Because you actually didn't stop to really access the higher wisdom that would tell you when to do it and how to do it. So that's why with this Forecasting Freedom program that we've put together, one of the taglines for it is create twice the success with half the effort. Because, again, we waste so much of our time in business and, in general, our time in life. We waste it running and rushing towards what we don't even know we're running or rushing towards. We just know we think that's what we're supposed to be doing because we don't actually give ourselves permission to stop, to breathe, and to be centered. And that's the great thing about what Sherita was sharing and, you know, kind of what I tapped into was when you look at the way that the universe is set up, astrology is set up, numerology is set up, it's set up to support us in taking our foot off the gas two-thirds of our time, to sit back, to relax, to tune in, and then only a third of our time should we actually be taking some action once we've tapped into that higher wisdom, that higher intelligence.
Mm-hmm. When you tapped on something really important, which is the listening piece. And, you know, I had something that just came through my email, I think it was recently today, and it said, you know, the difference between success and uber success. And one of the things that they mentioned in there, and maybe it was a blog post that I was reading, was listening. People who are uber successful listen, because you can't take in the information you need to move forward if you don't stop and listen. And as you're talking, I think about, let's look at those really gigantic things. You know, if we look at The Secret or any of these mega hits at the movie theaters or even something like releasing the new cars every year, you know, they have one little point that they release these things, but they've done tons of time that has been spent in planning, in figuring out the timing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They line out the whole marketing campaign, and then when it's released, it all looks nice and smooth, and it's like, bam, it's like this big out there thing. And yet what we don't realize is, you know, they spent maybe 2 months releasing this into this gigantic success, but they spent 2 or 5 years preparing for that.
That's right.
And I think that is part of this personal cycle thing, is you just like sitting at the stoplight. You see a stoplight. You got to know when to stop and when to go.
Yes.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I would just add to that, if you think that these production companies, these movie companies here in Hollywood that spend hundreds of millions of dollars on movies are not using numerology and astrology in scheduling their timing of their releases, you're crazy, because they're all doing it. They don't talk about it, but they're doing it, I guarantee you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, in this, you know, because we are all coexisting in this very fast-paced modern world where, you know, I think information is so accessible to us at a rate that a human can't even process it all. I mean, you know, you have, obviously with the internet alone, you have a myriad of choices to choose from. And what are you even going to sit down and decide to listen to anyway? You know, and the choices are just, it's limitless, really. I mean, what the internet has done alone. And of course, with every gadget we have for technology now, I mean, as soon as you buy it, it's outdated. You know, within 6 months, and you're supposed to go get another one and upgrade to this, and everything is just so, there's this pace that this world is existing in right now that to me, I find it's a little overwhelming. So you do need to stop. You know, of course, there's that expression, a rolling stone gathers no moss. You cannot constantly go, 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 go. And so many people today are chasing, they're spending their time chasing the money. And they're trading their time thinking they're going to get the money. But that's not really how the equation works. It's planning in order to have all that happen, as you said, Jess. You know, it takes a lot of process in order to really have that moment when all that money shows up. in the way that it should, because you've put the right results and the right, you've put the right, you know, planning into play before you rushed into it, or, you know, whatever it is that you did, you know, whether it's a car, it's a movie, it's any kind of product.
You know, you just really touched on a point, Sherita. I was just having this discussion with somebody in the last couple of days, and the difference is when we're chasing money, that's what we're doing. It's like the parallel in the relationship where the girl is sitting there going, but if I don't text him, he'll never call me, you know? And
yeah.
What we need to do is to say, you know what? You want to be with me, you come to me. And this is the concept of getting off of this chasing money. And when we get into these timing and we get into these cycles, what we're doing is we're allowing it to come to us.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to us having to go out and chase it so much.
Yes, because you have a formula in how that will all align for you if you're willing to listen to it. You have to be
money,
willing to listen to it.
Money is kind of a masculine energy force to me.
And yes, I agree with you there too.
And the masculine energy, as I've talked about in my relationship books, has a need to pursue. And if you try to pursue, if the feminine energy tries to pursue the masculine energy, it won't work. The masculine energy will shut down, hide, run away, and go find something else. So if we look at it, too, in those terms, and we realize it needs to pursue us, but we've got to get in this timing. We've got to get in these cycles to know how to allow it to pursue us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, even going back to, you know, there is, you know, it's also, well, a lesser known thing, but, you know, Wall Street has used astrology for years as well.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, one of our, you know, one of our presidents, a lot of people don't also know this, but there really wasn't a move or decision made under the Reagan administration that wasn't under the consultation of one of the White House astrologers. Nancy was very into astrology. She has a quote that she said, too. She's like, you know, people like ridiculed her for it, but she's like, at one point I just stopped caring what people thought, because she knew, like, he was like, whenever he got sworn into office or anything that they planned, she always made sure it wasn't under a cycle that would be ineffective for Ronald to carry out his intentions, you know, with the cabinet and the whole nine yards. Donald Reagan talks a lot about that in his book. That he has about his years as the White House Chief of Staff. So it's interesting when you do a little bit of homework, how many very notable people have followed this stuff for, you know, longer than anybody's been led to be aware of.
Absolutely. You know, and a lot of it, like you say, I think Nancy was the one that kind of got the brunt of it, because that's, She didn't hide it the same way the rest of them did, but they've all used it. Every president I know has had an astrologer person advising them along the way,
mm-hmm.
including our one. So it's kind of been, I think, definitely mainstream. Now, you know, let's taper down. We talk about our personal cycles. Now, one of the things that you get into that influences this timing factor is moon cycle. Why do we need to pay attention to our moon cycle? How does that?
Well, the moon is in, this is, I guess, totally logical, because we can all see that moon. I think everybody can agree that they know when it's a full moon. They know, and that the little expression, things are a little loony on a full moon. and when you're looking at the moon, even from just knowing a natal birth chart, your moon sign represents how you will carry your state of emotion in your life. And the moon goes all the way around the zodiac in 1 month, each month of our lives. So when it's starting anew again, which is always when it will be in direct alignment with the sun, which is why we cannot see a new moon. When we start what we call a waxing phase, and we start gathering, and a couple days after the we have a new moon, you'll start to see that little slice come back into the night sky shortly after sunset, because the moon is then moving away from the sun a little bit, and we start to get the reflection off of it again. And this is when the moon starts to get what we call gathering back in the light and increases in the light again. And up until it becomes full, this is when we want to initiate. This is when we want to move forward in our lives. We want to plant some things. And then it comes, and things typically, when you find that it is a full moon again, you'll notice that things will come to a state of completion on some level with whatever you've been doing in the last couple of weeks. And this always ebbs every 2 weeks. We have the waxing phase up from a new moon to a full moon. And then you'll have that, you know, big, full, beautiful ball up there that we see shortly after the sun will set, because the moon is then in direct opposition to the sun, which is why you get the full reflection of the light again. And the moon will, of course, a full moon will come up right as it's sunset, right? And then we go into what we call the waning phase, which is when things are losing light. That light starts decreasing again. And then we go back to another new moon. And when you're in a waning phase, you are more in a reflection period of the month, where you kind of not as favored. You probably can start things under a waning phase, but they're probably not going to be planted as securely as they could be if you chose to just wait another week or two until we get another waxing phase, come back again when we've got another new moon. The moon is the fastest moving vessel that we look at as a planet in astrology. And being that the moon guides our emotions, when that moon changes its sign every couple of days, this is why our feelings are always changing. If people, I think anybody listening would probably agree with that. Your feelings are changing, you know, almost daily, which, of course, is always going to lead up to what we're going to end up thinking and believing. And if our feelings are really not in check, not much else works too well. You know, if we're not feeling too good, then probably the whole rest of it is just going to be like a domino effect in every other area of our life. So really understanding the cycles of the moon is like one of the key things to understand when it comes to timing.
Huge. Yeah. And it is. And this shifting of cycles, I mean, it's like the ebb and the flow of the ocean.
And the moon controls the tides, of course. That's where you get, the moon is in charge of all of that.
Mark, why is these moon cycles, these waxing and waning cycles, why are they so important with business?
Well, like what Sherita was saying was, you know, it influences people's emotions. And again, business is all about relationship. So you want to always be conscious of when there might be a heightened sensitivity for those you're working with, and when there may be kind of a more conducive emotional state to have certain kinds of conversations. So, for example, full moon is that time of the month that, well, funny time of the month, never thought that way, but it's that time of the month when everyone seems to have a little bit heightened emotion, tend to be more sensitive, tend to have a little bit more moodiness, maybe a little more breakdowns happening around that full moon time. Well, it's something for myself in business, you know, I've learned to appreciate and really pay attention. It's like, okay, if I know a full moon's coming up this week and I have a serious conversation that may be confronting a coworker or confronting a colleague about some situation that may be a little conflictive, then it's definitely a conversation I do not want to be having right around that full moon, because likely their emotions are going to be more unmanageable for them. So I will always try to find a time around, away from that full moon to have that kind of conversation. And then conversely, there are different points in the lunar cycle that are more conducive to having certain kinds of conversations. So the more that you're aware of where the moon is at any given time, the more effective you're going to be in your relationships, in your communication, and most importantly in communication, it's the other person actually hearing what you say rather than interpreting what you say. You're going to be most effective with that at certain times depending on where the moon is at.
And that's a good point, because if somebody's not listening to you, you've just wasted a whole bunch of time. And that's where it kind of drives some of this concept of how we can save time in things. And, of course, you know, all these little pauses, knowing when to take the pause. If people stop and pause, they actually feel like their day is longer, even if it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes. But knowing this flow, I think this is very important, because especially if you've got somebody that's high drama to start with and you try to approach them under some of these conditions, not a good combination. And I would think for businesses it'd be huge, because if you approach a high drama person that lives in a victim space at a full moon about an issue you're having with them, would you not be more... So like a lawsuit?
You never know what might happen. That's right.
I mean, that's when people go postal, right? I mean,
that is a good expression. That's right. Yeah, people, you know, I mean, excluding business, but I mean, I think if you, you know, went into any police station, you could probably track their records. And the majority of when they're dealing with intense stuff is always those days leading up to and the days, you know, after a full moon has passed. That's probably when they have the most arrests, the most kind of oddball things happening, because people's energy is just, it's a little postal and off the charts.
Hospitals. My sister was in the nursing profession.
Yeah, hospitals. That's another place. Yes, I'm sure that emergency room is much more packed on a full moon than it is when it's a new moon.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's that reactive stage. That's that reactive instead of responding, and I think you could both.
Oh, yeah. That's my favorite expression to tell people. We need to respond and not react. And that's going back to the patience thing again. But, you know, yeah, it's and, you know, really, when you think about it across the board, where do you learn this? I mean, you really don't learn it, I mean, unless you're, like, maybe privileged to go to, like, a special private school where there's a little bit more awareness going on. But the average public school system, especially in the United States, I'm sorry, I went to public school, and I didn't learn about patience in my classes. I never learned about stuff like that, you know. They don't even teach you to balance your checkbook. So, you know, you kind of do have to kind of be a person who wants to kind of step out of the norm and step out of that follower mentality. And when you think for yourself a little bit more than, you know, we're taught to think for ourselves, you know, it can become a very rewarding thing in your life.
You know, I agree. And I think sometimes, you know, we've looked at things in these, you know, as Mark said earlier, woo-woo terms, even though they're very scientific. You know, it's like putting truth on labels. You know, if you put the truth factor in it and said, okay, there's going to be a bunch of people in road rage on the road. Would you still like to go get on the road? You know,
probably not.
It's I think sometimes shifting to some of those terms to get people to realize this is what you're actually dealing with. You know?
And I would have to say road rage probably happens under Mercury retrograde. Aside from a full moon, it probably happens under Mercury retrograde more often than any other cycle during the year, too.
Well, and I would say right now, I mean, with our Mars influences and being in Aries and coming up on the full moon.
Yeah,
in a few days.
That Mars retrograde, I talked about that when that cycle started, because we're under a Mars retrograde right now, and that started at the beginning of March, on March 1st, and we're still in it through May 19th. It's a longer one. And Mars is our planet that guides motivation, dynamic action, aggression, the rage. But Mars always says, on the plus side of things, respond in your courage. Become the warrior, because Mars loves a fight. Mars is not against the fight whatsoever. But when you step into the space of looking at the energy that Mars is here to provide for us, it's about becoming the warrior. And when you're a warrior, you only stand up for what's right in a way that is diligent and patient and courageous. A warrior doesn't fight to get what he wants. He does it in a very diligent and respectful way. So under a Mars retrograde right now, I mean, I've seen this, you know, happening on, you know, in the past month, where are we going on here? A month and a half now of Mars retrograde happening. I mean, people are, there's some, you know, some pretty interesting, scenarios happening in conversations, and people kind of losing it a little bit, and they're like, whoa, okay, chill out.
And like you say, that's where we come back to our aspect of patience, which is about trust, because I think under this influence, a lot of people are feeling a lot of restlessness and a lot of impatience,
they are.
And it's leading them to go impulsive, where, again, if they could just wait that day or two, if they could just, and I've been telling a lot of people this that I deal with in my own clients, saying, just wait till the end of May. Don't make that shift right now, because you're prone to get that backlash, and you know, instead of getting to stand your ground or something, it's and I think that that's part of how I see it. You know, this is a good time to stand up for yourself, but again, like you say, as the warrior knows how to move. They don't just go out there in full force attacking. They wait for the right moment to make their move.
Yeah. And, you know, when we say retrograde, because maybe not everybody knows what retrograde means, when a planet is retrograde, it is technically going, well, as astrology measures it, it's going backwards in its degrees, as we, everything is measured in degrees on a 360 degree wheel in astrology, with the 12 signs divvied up into 30 degrees each. So Mars right now is backtracking in the sign of Libra. So what's, you know, interesting about it is that the natural energy of Mars is thrown off. And this will happen when we have a Mercury retrograde cycle, which is a huge thing that we teach about in the course, about how to be the most effective under Mercury retrograde. He's the one who retrogrades more often than any of the other planets. Mars doesn't do it as often, thank goodness, because I don't think anybody can handle that all the time. But so when a planet is going retrograde, the natural effects of that planet are like kind of a little thwarted, which is why we need a little more mindfulness for the passage, so that we know what to do to navigate ourselves a little easier and have that understanding, so that we're just not fighting against it. Because the average person, again, who has no doesn't follow astrology to any fair degree, they are always probably choosing the resistant option rather than going with the responsive option, which is, of course, the response is always going to get you what you want.
Yeah. Yeah, and that resistance, as we well know, that's where we get burned out very, very quickly. And
you bet.
That's where we push away. That's like forcing something. And as we know, on the way of spiritual working of things, you try to force something that's going to take longer. It's going to resist you as well. You know, I'm thinking we have just enough time to tap into one little other piece that you talk about in this course, which is the aspect of being void of course, the moon being void of course. Why is that important?
Well, it was determined a very long time ago with our more of, I would say, the ancient astrologers from, you know, Lord knows how many thousands of years ago that they figured this out. But moon void, of course, and to explain the terminology astrologically, it means, and you know, we discussed earlier that the moon is the fastest moving vessel up there. It goes around the zodiac from Aries to Pisces once a month. It's always zooming around another, you know, it changes a sign every couple, about every two and a half days, give or take. And in astrology, there's this understanding called aspects, which is basically when one planet is having a mathematical alignment conversation with directly with another planet. So the math is going to line up somehow, some way, whether that be with the square that we were talking about with the Grand Cardinal Cross happening. It's going to be happening in another week in its official alignment. Or whether we're looking at a trine energy, which is when things are actually flowing really fabulously and energy is easier. There's a way that a trine, when you have that aspect happen in astrology, is it makes you feel like you're having a lucky day. Sextiles will do the same thing. And when we're looking at a new moon, we're looking at a conjunction because the moon is in the same exact spot that the sun is in. So they're right on top of one another. That's what the conjunction means. So when we're looking at how the moon goes void, of course, the last mathematical conversation that moon will have with another planet or it's going to enter the next sign is called moon void, of course. And I kind of call it like a mini Mercury retrograde. It's basically like a blackout period. It has been astrologically proven that anything you try to do under a moon void, of course, nothing becomes of it. So it's also a time where we are asked to reflect and do that reassessment thing and just kind of chill out, you know, go meditate for the afternoon. And it varies all the time. There is, you've just got to follow a moon void, of course, calendar in order to know when it's going to happen. Because sometimes it's for 2 hours. Sometimes it's when we're sleeping. Sometimes it's for a full business day. I've seen a lot of them this year where, like, we go right into Monday, you know, starting this Monday to Friday work week, and Monday is like a moon void, of course, and it's like, oh, you know, people go get them on a Monday, right? Well, if it's a moon void, of course, on a Monday, you don't want to go get anything. You're going to want to, like, choose to make, you know, choices in your business day that aren't about having important meetings and you know, and doing things that you really want to see some long-term success with. I mean, they even say with moon void, of course, the things you buy under a moon void, of course, you'll never use it. It'll be something like, oh, you'll be at the store and you'll buy something, and if it's a moon void, of course, when you bought it, it tends to sit in your closet, or, you know, even if it's food, you end up not using the food, and you might end up throwing it out. Those are the types of things that the moon void, of course, teaches us. And that will happen whether it's a waxing moon or a waning moon. So even under a waxing moon during those 2 weeks when we are favored for initiation, you kind of want to watch when it's going to be moon void, of course, over that 2 weeks as well, because you still don't want to plant something under a waxing moon when it's moon void, of course.
And, you know, I kind of look at this and, you know, we talked about how we have to have these pauses and we have these times to act. And when the moon's void, of course, that's when the moon is pausing. That's when it's kind of taking
Exactly.
a little. And so it can't help you while it's sleeping. It's
Exactly.
not getting
Pretty
out of bed, sleeping for you at that
that's
point.
That's right. And it, you know, like Mark said before, you know, astrology, numerology, it just gives you the pace that you can go at. And be at peace with the fact that there is this perfectly aligned way to time out anything you ever want to do, so that you're not going against time. All, you know, you're not fighting against time. You know, most people, that's what they do. They are just in a constant fight against time because they don't understand time, because we are in this, you know, Monday to Friday, 9-to-5 work schedule. Well, astrology doesn't fall into that category. It gives you all sorts of different things. That, you know, the moon does not go, it doesn't start a new moon every first of the month because it runs on a 28-and-a-quarter-day cycle. So every 28-and-a-quarter days, it's in the sign it was in last month. which is out of alignment with the Gregorian calendar. So there's always a way that you cannot follow that strict business way of always wanting things to be stuck in this structure that is, it doesn't make any sense in timing things astrologically or even via the numbers.
Exactly. And I think when we pull all of this together, it's kind of like that difference of trying to communicate with somebody when you're really rested and your mind is really clear, or when you've been operating on 2 hours of sleep and you're totally drained out. It's the same kind of concept. So you're doing yourself a favor, you're doing other people a favor by being wise in this timing. Now, give us a little overview, because we've been talking about this, and what we've been talking about tonight has been a program that Sherita and Mark have put together. It's called Forecasting Freedom. And give us an overview. What are people going to get if they go in and they take this course from you?
Mark, I've been doing a lot of talking, so I'm going to let you go for it.
Okay, I'll give you a break. All right, so Forecasting Freedom is a four-part teleclass series. It'll be starting on April 24th, and it will run for four Thursdays, if I'm not mistaken. There might be one day that we switch to a Wednesday. But essentially, the way that we've structured this teleclass series is that each class we're going to break down these three different topics in general that we've been talking about today. So one class is going to focus on moon phases. So we're going to look at the moon waxing phase versus the waning phase, and how do you align that with your business cycle, your career cycles. And we're also going to take a look at the moon void, of course. And similarly, how do we intertwine that into our schedule throughout the work week? So that's class one. Class two, we're going to take a look at Mercury retrograde. What do we do around Mercury retrograde? What should we be doing, not doing during Mercury retrograde? And how do we align our business calendar year to really maximize our time throughout the year, since Mercury retrograde generally happens three times a year for about 3 weeks? So that three-week Mercury retrograde time frame is very significant for business, because you can't just check out a business for 3 weeks. So you got to have a really good game plan to be most effective during that time frame. And then the third class will be focused on personal forecasts. So this is where we're going to start to talk about what is your personal forecast in terms of, there's a nine-year cycle that we all go through. Where are you at in your nine-year cycle? And we're going to give you a tool so you can always calculate your own personal, where you're at in your own personal cycle, anytime, at any point for the rest of your life. So the idea here with this teleclass series is a twofold. One, to really start to educate and bring these secrets, bring this insight forward to more professionals, to more individuals who could so leverage and access this to be more effective in their business and career. And then the other part about it is, we really actually want to give you tools. We want to give you whatever it is we can give you, so you can start to utilize this insight, not just as like, oh, I know something, but, oh, I can apply it starting today. So we're giving you both the insight and the tools. It's a four-class series. The fourth class, I kind of missed that at the end, the fourth class is where we'll pull it all together. So in that fourth class, what we're going to help you do is learn how to overlay the moon phases, Mercury retrograde, and your personal cycle, so you can actually map out your calendar year and identify what are the best dates throughout the year for you to take action, and what are the dates for you to sit back, take a break, and really go into that centering kind of meditative place for yourself, so you can tap into that higher wisdom. Did I miss anything there with what we're going to be discussing, Sherita?
You covered that very well. I'm excited.
All right.
and this is exciting things. And I think, too, you'll also touch on some things of what can be done in these retrograde cycles, because there are things that we can do. We're just shifting the action different, just like there's certain types of things to do during the waxing moon, certain types of things to do during the waning moon.
The do's and don'ts, I always say, of especially with the Mercury retrograde, there's a list a mile long of the do's and the don'ts, and how to really, navigate through the Mercury retrograde so that you don't get tripped up by it. Because the average person, if they don't know it's Mercury retrograde, oh my God, they think the world's coming to an end when that cycle happens for 3 weeks, and that is, it's a long period of time to be functioning in a business effectively. And as Mark said, you can't just take 3 weeks off and not do anything, but there are so many things that you are poised and you can be positioned to do so that you make the most of it and you have a good time during Mercury retrograde. I mean, since I've, become aware of how all of this stuff, divinely works, I actually look forward to a Mercury retrograde because I love it when I have, I know I can take a little time to stop being the Rolling Stone a little bit in my own life and just take that time and reset and recharge and regroup a little bit, reconnect, all the things that the Mercury retrograde actually favors. Because like you said, Jess, there are total things that you can do and still create success during a 3 week period like Mercury retrograde.
And Sherita touches on something I think is really important, which kind of comes back to this conversation of permission. But as she was saying, she actually looks forward to Mercury retrograde, looking forward to that downtime. And this is another part of this class, is to really start to open up this conversation of giving yourself permission to breathe. Giving yourself not just, oh, I know I should, but I got a million things to do, but be like, no, I'm actually looking forward to having a day next week or maybe a couple points in the week where I am going to sit back and I'm going to give myself permission to do that, because that's exactly what I'm supposed to be doing in that moment. And this is, for me, what the real breakthrough is in the business environment these days, is really starting to shift from the old paradigm way of burn your candle at both ends until you're in the grave to shifting into how do I find balance in being centered and being empowered in my work and in the business environment. Because trust me, my friends, if you do not learn how to do that, you will not be creating success as we move forward. It just simply is not going to work. The old way does not work anymore, and you could pretend like it does, but I guarantee you it's going to work less and less and less for you. It's a new day, and there's a new way to do it. And this is what we're starting to open up here in this conversation.
And you guys have brought in a great thing. It's, the money is going to flow in as a result of being in the cycles. It's not about chasing the money anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so important. And these retrogrades and these rest periods, it is just like giving your body sleep or giving your body nourishing food to eat so that it can function at a better, higher, stronger level.
It's very interesting, Jess, because when you calculate the number of hours that Mercury retrogrades in a calendar year's time, it does equivalent the same amount of time we are meant to sleep.
See, there you go.
You just said it.
We're all working way too much. We need to take a lot more time off. Remember, only, a small portion of your year is meant for work.
It's very true. Because see, America doesn't get this. I think over in Europe, they've always kind of, I now know Europeans run on a very different work schedule than America does. America is the very 9-to-5 Monday to Friday deal. But I know Europeans don't do that like we do, or, in other countries, they have a very different way that they value their time. And America, I know Americans, we do not have a good relationship with time.
Yes.
We just really don't. We've created a structure that is like, hello, what are we doing?
It's so true. Those European countries, a lot of them they make it mandatory to have 2 to 4 weeks off at a time.
Yes, they do.
And they time them of when they're going off. So there's a lot to that, actually. And I do want to remind people, if you'd like to check out more about this teleseminar that Mark and Sharita are providing called Forecasting Freedom, if you're on the Blog Talk and you're seeing that description, it'll also be in the YouTube version on there. There's a link there, and you can just click on that link, and that's going to get you into the page where you can sign up. And they have a great little bonus, I believe, as well, like a half-hour coaching session with the two of you, if they're signing up.
Yes, we do.
So that's an amazing bonus. You guys get a half-hour coaching session with Mark and Sharita when you sign up for this. And for those that are not seeing that link because you're listening through one of our other avenues, it's www.MAsInMichael, CAsInCharlie, SAsInSam, LAsInLarry.com/APP/question mark AF as in Frank equals 158-2555. And that's going to get you on to get all the information where you can sign up for the course, where you can look over things more. And that's going to be a huge thing. And I see we had a little comment come into the chat room. We define ourselves by work and get mesmerized by materials. And, yeah, now it's time to start finding ourselves and enjoying the life that we're here. I want to thank both of you for being on the show and sharing this program and sharing this information and sharing what's going on. I really appreciate your time tonight.
Well, thank you, Jess. Our gratitude, I'll let Mark speak for himself too, but amazing gratitude to you as well.
Absolutely. This was wonderful, and we're so dedicated to getting this out there and this information, and at the end of the day, transform, you know, the experience in the work world. And we couldn't be happier to share this with your audience tonight.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. I do want to mention that next week on the show I have Elaine Cooper coming on, and she's going to be discussing with us about detoxing and cleansing, which is just perfect since we're getting ready to head into, you know, the weather's warming up and we're heading into swimsuit season and things like that. And even if you're not one of those beach swimsuit kind of people, it's just great to do some of these seasonal cleanses. And she's going to talk about how to do that and how to do it safely and what that is all about and how that can benefit us. Also, I've released several events for 2014. You heard me mention that a couple of times during the show. And you can find out more about those at jessieannnicholsgeorge.eventbrite.com. And this is really amazing work. They're all in line with the cycles and the seasons, and each one focuses a little bit different based on what is happening with just what they were talking about, the moon cycles and the phases that we're going through. So we're going to flow with that energy in those events. And there's 7 of them still left to go between now and February 2015. Also, if you'd like to find out more about the work I'm doing, connect with me. You can check out my blog, check out videos. I put out a new video, and I'll have one coming out in the next week as well. Listen to archive shows, all of those types of things you can get on my website at jessieannnicholsgeorge1.com. And there's a great section there for Main Street Universe, so you can catch information on all of our different hosts there. And I also have some different things available with, if you'd like to be an affiliate for some of the events that I have going on, there's options for that. April's special deal, I have short coaching and reading sessions available, only $15 for 10 minutes, $30 for 20 minutes. If you go right onto the homepage of my website, jessieannnicholsgeorge1.com, you're going to find all the information on that, the codes that you use for that and how to take advantage of that. And then don't forget, we've got several shows right here on Main Street Universe throughout the week. Sunday nights, we have Darren Bouquer, who's a reader at Madame Laveau in New Orleans, doing spiritual insights. So he likes to talk about a little bit of a topic and then do a couple of readings in there. Really wonderful if you'd Want to check him out? Monday nights, Randy Goldberg has a show going on. He works with Vedic astrology. Tuesdays is Susan Weed, who shares her work in herbs and natural plants. And I'll tell you, her show is short, but it's a wealth of information that's packed into her show. Wednesday nights is our flagship show. Daniel, Janice, and Brett are hosting that show. It's called Main Street Universe, and they delve into all different topics, sometimes some different guests on there. Thursdays, we oftentimes have Queen Mother Amaku on, looking at Egyptian culture. Fridays is Kevin Baird walking on the sidewalk with his Horizon Oracle's Journeys deck, a deck that he created, and you can check out more on that at templeofgaia.com. And, of course, Friday nights is Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. This is Jessie Ann Nichols-George. Thank you so much for being here tonight. Again, thank you to all of our listeners, not only on Blog Talk Radio, but also those streaming live on PEN, known as Pair Encounters Network, StreamFinder, TalkStream Live, as well as those that are catching our podcast at iTunes, TuneIn.com, and those catching the YouTube version of our show, which will be up within the next 24 hours. And a special thanks just to Mark and Sharita for being on the show and sharing the work that they're doing tonight. I look forward to seeing you back here next week as we delve more into activating compassion. Don't forget, if you've enjoyed the show this evening, share it with others. It's going to be available at this same link in our archives. And I'm going to leave you tonight with the song Yearning For, also known as Over and Over by Shemshai. Thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you again next week right here on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. May you enjoy the rest of your weekend and have an amazing week.
And if I could see what makes me blind, I would soar to the edge of my mind. And to touch what seems unreal, just to show you the way that I feel. And we are in time with time, one with season of change and size. And we are in tune with the tune, caught in a balance of sun and moon. Oh, deep inside, the light within, shining to show you it's here to begin. When all I have is all I need, I will soar to the edge of eternity. And we see it eye to eye, one within love to be for the divine. And we're walking hand in hand, caught in the balance of God and your lover, learning to walk just a little bit slower, whispering secrets, I bet you can't keep it, no turning back now, this time we reveal it, one to another, all will discover, the essence within the most beautiful lover, time is still turning, the love is still burning, deep in your spirit, your heart still yearning for. Yearning for. Within love.